You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. Fans of podcast horror and Halloween, Friday, October 25th in Austin, Texas at the Nomad Bar at 1213 Corona Drive, we have got an event for you. Attack of the Pod People is an unprecedented party to celebrate the season featuring members of OneOfUs.net, Double Toasted, The Night Owl, Horror Queers, Junk Food Cinema, Castle of Horror, Rage Select, Women in Caskets, and the Threequel Club, all performing onstage tributes to the season. All that, and you can get up and sing with Karaoke Underground or compete in our costume contest with prizes. RSVP is required for entry, so look our event up on Facebook or Eventbrite and join us. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. Man, we finally got that fourth El Mariachi film, and boy, is it sad and depressing.
Once upon a time in Madrid.
Madrid?
Oh, yes.
But it was a pretty cool house.
It was a very cool house. He's like, you know, where's Salma Hayek? I don't know. We'll take Penelope Cruz. It's fine.
We will take Penelope Cruz. Antonio's hair.
Yeah, you were. You at one point, the one thing that Baz said during the whole movie was like, "I love his hair."
It was great. 5 o'clock hair. Shadow he had going yeah. there. Really.
Yeah. So we are reviewing.
It was very GHD. Sorry.
Reviewing the new Pedro Almodovar film. Going around. Right? I'm Chris.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ben.
I'm Frank.
I'm Baz.
Baz, if you don't know, well, you probably don't know, but he is our artist for all the art on the site, and he is here visiting me from London, and he's very excited to be on his first Highly Suspect review.
I'm also jet-lagged to fuck at the moment.
You just landed today.
I'm drinking bourbon.
Didn't you?
Yes.
And Chris is pretty...
I was literally picked up from the airport and driven to the cinema.
You know, and what Chris did is said, I'm going to put you up with these guys and make you just deal with it.
I'm going to make you famous, son.
Yeah, I will be famous.
So what this film is about is Antonio Banderas, who plays Salvador Malo, who is basically a stand-in for Pedro Almodovar himself. To all reports, this is deeply autobiographical. In fact, even the plot of the film is kind of about coming to terms with needing to be... tell autobiographical art, but he is a film director. At one point was very, very big, but he's in his decline. He is going through tons of both physical and psychological pain. He hasn't produced anything in a long time, and he ends up sort of starting to have any interest at all in anything when his one of his most famous works, this basically they've remastered it and are playing it at a local theater, and they're like, we would like you to come and talk at it along with the actor, who he has not talked to since the premiere of the film because he was very upset about the way that the guy chose to portray the character, apparently. And he used to be a bit more of a dick.
Like three decades ago.
Thirty-four years.
Yeah. I have not spited someone for 30 years yet. I look forward to that kind of spite.
Well, have you been around for 30 years?
Yeah, give it time. Trust me.
That one motherfucker who stole my first candy in preschool, he knows what he did.
And that's the son of a bitch that killed my frog. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna go meet this guy. So he goes and meets him. He's kind of like, looks like a washed up metalhead.
He looks great.
Yeah, he looks a lot better than Antonio Banderas does.
I was looking at his picture on IMDb, and he's like super clean cut in a suit. And I'm like, this feels weird after I only know him from this movie.
Oh my god, yeah.
But
I'm looking at the picture.
He looks like a soccer player from like a British football club.
He looks more like Jack Johnson there than he did in that.
Yeah. Don't besmirch my footballing.
I don't know.
Boy, here we go.
I don't know.
Which team do you like? The Dallas Cowboys?
No. I don't know. I was going to say, he looks like a Liverpool player, right?
The Liverpool player. It's really, really funny when they hear
Americans. I know.
Talking about English culture and then me going on about American
Liverpoolian?
Liverpool.
I'm not even talking about
it.
Look, listen to any review with Richard. We do this all the time. It's great.
So the movie.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Mike. That was an interjection I approve of.
It's so good to have you back, Mike, because we don't stay on point.
Segway. More than a segue. Totally different review. We're reviewing London now from an American's point of view. No, we're not. But we'll get to that some other time.
5.5 years.
Marmite, what's it all about?
So he meets up with this actor, and he's talking to him, and the guy's like, I don't really trust this situation. But before you know it, they're actually getting along, and partially because this guy's doing heroin.
Like, you got
and Antonio Banderas is like, well, I've never even done heroin before, but kind of like to try it. And you find out as it goes along, it's partially because, yeah, he's in such intense pain all the time. He's like, man, whatever would work at this point. And he kind of starts to get into it. And the two of them are like, agreed, like, all right, well, we're going to do this thing. And through a series of events, eventually this leads to his work getting back out there again. And all of this is interspersed with flashback scenes to him as a small child with Penelope Cruz as his mother, either him having a dream about it in a heroin days or just a regular dream. And we're starting to see like this,
he dozes off a lot.
Yeah. He dozes off a lot. Look, he even says I doze most of the day.
Look, I was going to say, if you're dreaming about Penelope Cruz and you doze off, you're not doing too bad.
Yeah. Sure. But for him, yeah. He's gay. So that's like for him and it's his mom.
And it's his mom.
Spoiler.
Yeah. This ain't Taboo series. We just learned something about where Ben's porn started.
Slow down, Oedipus.
Is it really weird that my porn is Penelope Cruz?
It's like
I think that's like
his history. Is
part,
shit.
No,
history that the file is called Oedipus is the only issue with that. So.
his search queue on Porn Hamster just says Spanish family.
Porn Hamster.
That's something.
Like
no
you
one is
don't know what it's actually called. Chris.
I don't know what it's actually called. I know there's hamster in the name.
Oh yeah, that is an actual one.
Yeah, there is actually one.
Yeah, which one is that? There's the other.
I don't know. Anyway,
only Antonio Banderas movies.
So along the way, he encounters other people from his past. He has memories of like talking with his mom when he's little, talking to his mom when he's old. Everyone's over in his life is kind of worried about him because like, well, dude, are you ever going to get back? I mean, you were one of the greats and you're just sitting here rotting in your beautiful home that looks like a museum.
See, the problem with this movie is this is almost a summary at this point or a synopsis at this point because it kind of just goes. I don't know if there's a strong through line more than what you said earlier, Chris, about he recaptures telling a narrative story and telling his story. Because other than that, it's kind of just what happens. Like, nothing more deep than that happens.
I disagree.
You had the same sort of,
he just said that just to interrupt.
You, sir, I object.
That's all he said before then. I disagree. And then just sat back again.
Well, I wanted to go more, but Frank was...
No, this reminds me of, this reminds me of, Ben, what you were saying back when we reviewed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and it's, it's because you and me too, not as much, but we're raised on the act one, act two, act three, structure, the essence of drama is conflict and blah, 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 and, beginning, middle, and end, and everything coming around again. But I like this.
I like that. No, I do like that in this movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that's the whole discussion we had then. I do like it more here, but I'm just saying with where Chris was going was it kind of is that you can kind of get stuck in going and ramping up where the story actually goes, which is, you could keep doing that. But I feel like a lot more of this movie is talking about, the visual storytelling and just the how personable this character is and getting into his life. And
it's Banderas,
we were digging into
it's Banderas acting his ass off. Like,
yeah, he is one of his best. Doing so fantastic
so
in this
fantastic.
Movie.
You made my short list.
And the film is obviously one of the most personal films for Almodovar, no question about it. I mean, the movie practically screams it, even if you didn't know that.
Yeah.
We're just watching it, you'd be like, yeah, this is clearly semi autobiographical.
Except him with Antonio Banderas.
But like there's a point of it.
That's Mike's biopic is him as Antonio Banderas.
Right?
Probably.
Antonio Banderas plays Mike. Might be
Spider-Man.
Might be a bit of a stretch.
I think he kills goats too.
Have you seen Almodovar? It's not that far.
Yeah. I think
Almodovar looks like John Candy in real life.
He assembles a very non-linear story that is beautifully shot. It's beautifully scored. The performances are great, but it is sort of just meandering through this very long
version
of the story.
You said that word.
The word out of my mind.
Well, I was hoping nobody would say that word, that they would see it for something, richer beyond that.
Well, here's what I think.
I'm a Philistine.
This is the thing that I said when I said that I disagree about like the fact that it sort of gets to the point of meandering is that it's just it felt a little more real to me because that's kind of how reminiscing works.
Yes,
like reminiscing isn't just like act one, two, and three.
Exactly.
Like you literally just go through life and you're just like, I remember when this happened, kind of thing. But it works in this sort of context because everything that happens is a moment that makes him go, hey, I remember this moment in my life, kind of thing. And I appreciated that a lot. And every time I thought it was about to kind of meander, it brought me back in with another tidbit of his life, whether it involved, you know, the thing with the painting, the thing with him, his life, you know, as a kid living with his mom in this village, in this this pueblo, this cave.
Literally living in a cave.
Actually, the cave looked amazing.
It was great.
I would live rad.
Like look, honestly. That much space, if I could get that in Austin, I'd pay for living in a cave. Right? Jesus Christ.
Dude, when you pick up the taco off of Shakespeare's head, like it opens up the hole into the lower part of the cave.
That's where the bat cave is. But, I really like that aspect of it, and it was very much about just him trying to figure out what to do. I appreciated about it.
I really appreciate it. I think I'm on the same wavelength as you, but I think there is some frustration, at least on my part, and I don't know if this relates to what you guys are saying, but, like, you know, any of these subplots would have made such an enticing movie in its own right.
Agreed.
You know, I would love to see a movie between the actor and him and, you know, these two artists who are finally, you know, finding out who each other is and, you know, this lover from, like, way back when coming back into his life. You know, the mom and the son then and now, I think that makes a great film too, but you know, never meant to be that.
I'll say this. I've like, you were talking earlier about like, what is the struggle in the film? And this is clearly man versus himself, right?
Yeah.
Which I've found is the hardest struggle to translate into film.
Sure.
Like period, unless it's got Liam Neeson and wolves. That's the, but hey, am I wrong here? Come on. But you know what I mean? Because so much of that story is internal and internalized, and it's hard to tell in a filmic way that isn't trying to do it almost entirely through visual metaphor. And I don't think this film is really working on a visual metaphor level
It's not very metaphorical at all. And I will say, the first 15 minutes, I was kind of mixed on it, because the first 15 minutes is very much stylized. It's him in the pool and like the other story going on, then him meeting this person, and then him explaining his ailments. And I was like, I don't know where you're going with this.
When you're talking about his intriguing. Ailments, I got the impression that they weren't real.
That he was just a big faker?
Yeah, my impression was that I didn't think he actually had all of that stuff going on. I felt as if it was like almost being used as an excuse.
I mean, I think to some degree, I think it was both. Like, yes, because people kept saying, at one point a doctor is like, well, you know, other directors had much worse than you.
Yeah, the way he uses the limitation is very much in his head. But I will say the movie turned around for me when he meets, we meet Alberto, who's played by, I'm going to butcher this to hell, so Asier Extiandia?
Extiandia?
That's a hell of a last name.
It's a hell of a last name.
But the actor who's playing him, who's the actor from his movie from 32 years ago, like, their relationship kind of is electric right away, because it's like, he doesn't fully trust him from the start, but then when they start connecting, like, at his house, it's like, you guys are the weirdest buddy movie I've seen. It kind of works. And then, like, it keeps going on. Like, when he shows up at his house that he clearly picked up from him calling a taxi, is like, he doesn't expect it, but they kind of still, you know, catch up, and he's still not even mad when he, like, is, you know, snooping on him. And then that last scene they have, like, directly, or second to last scene they have directly together, where he's like, yeah, I really didn't want to show up, actually. It's like, those two together, it's like, even though he gets mad at him, like, I love these two characters, and then basically one more scene. And then it's another half of the movie. And I'm like, that's my biggest complaint with this movie, is it builds up really great characters. And outside of one, which is his former relationship that does interact in this movie, that one I understand why it's in and out. Every other character in this movie feels so just, they're in till they're not important. And I get that's what life is sometimes like, but in a movie, I feel like I wanted more with those characters.
I felt like those characters represented the acts of it. I feel like there were acts to this.
Yeah.
And each character was like, they were the star of that particular act. But I will give you, Ben, that him and that actor, there's a point that I'm like, they're both doing heroin. They're both kind of out of it. They're very funny together. I'm like,
what if you guys decided to pull a heist?
No, you joke.
Where's Guy Ritchie when you need him?
You joke, but it's like, yeah, that sort of, I think they peak at that scene in that moment because that sort of arc, that act has a short shelf life, really.
Yeah.
I
thought it was the strongest act of the film, really? For sure. For me, it was, absolutely.
I thought it was the mother in him.
It's the most fun one to me.
And I will say, like, him talking with him both before the play, based on his work in the play, and afterwards, it's so much about that interpersonal nature of his work that I think they could have honestly, and I'm going to assume there's some actual realism to this type of thing happened to Almodóvar, that this is something he's basing it on. I tried.
You tried.
I saw the look Chris is giving me is like, really? I'm like, look, I'm standing next to Mike, who does not know Spanish, and he's the only Latino in the room. I'm going to
think that's okay.
I'm saying, really? The Latino's not giving me a hard time for putting an accent on.
No, I mean, really?
Countdown till Ben points out that he's Jewish. Countdown. I'm Jewish.
And I'm out of the room. Have a question with you, guys.
He's right there, man.
Alcohol.
He brought the alcohol.
I thought you were just really tan.
Yeah. I'm Italian, actually.
Do you think Frank's an imaginary friend of yours? Is that what you're saying?
Because Frank did give me the look on that one,
really,
at least.
Here. No.
I mean, he does look like a giant rabbit, to be fair.
Oh, God.
Where did this... Okay.
Sorry, I'm good. Donnie Darko.
Anyway, so what I'm saying is, I think the discussion of the work from both sides, both before when he's tenuously giving it to him and he's upset, he's not sure he ever wants to see it. And then afterwards, he's like, no, thank you so much. This kind of did what I wanted to. I'll see you perform my work, was so critical to the work. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, the relationship was so important. I agree that with Chris, that I think it is the strongest part of the movie because it's more how he's addressing his work and how this work is his life. But the second part with his mother is important, but it's more like if they could address that more through him with the actor reliving his work, I think I'd be more attached to it.
Let's face it, Almodóvar.
Or
if you want to do it, accent to it. Like Frank the Rabbit over here.
I feel better about
At least I was
Chris.
Closer. At least I was
really?
Closer.
Have another beer, Ben.
Is obviously really into talking about his mom. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's come up before. It's been titular. I'm just saying. It's
Hispanic
a thing.
People love their mothers. I'm just going to say that.
Oh,
right now.
So the rest of us don't? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's a whole other
Racist.
Level. Trust me. It's a whole other level.
No, I think that. Dodging shoes. I don't know. That mother one resonates because what son feels like they haven't lived up to the most potential? And only a Hispanic or. Well, not only, I shouldn't say
only,
that.
Yeah.
But especially Hispanic son will. His mom will tell him if he hasn't lived up to her potential, and so it's like, yeah,
they will tell you to your face.
Mike, that explains why I just checked. There's like 50,000 videos under Spanish Family on Porn Hamster.
I was gonna say Chris was just with his mom. He wasn't heartbroken at all.
They watched The Good Place together. I mean, they are.
We did.
Yeah.
We just were like, oh, Kristen Bell, you scamp. Anyway, let's go to final thoughts. Ben, get us started.
I think this movie is incredibly visually stunning, to say the least. When I walked out, it basically says, like, the costume design alone, like, there's so many scenes where just, like, the color is just popping, and it is against the background, against the scenery. Everything he did in this movie is so stylish, and it fully fits with every other movie of his I've seen, and I kind of love that because it really brings a lot more of it to life when it is a very much a melodramatic movie, which he does make fun of melodramas in this movie at some point. Yeah. He's like, don't cry. I don't give a shit about people who cry in movies. I want to see the guy who tries not to cry.
I want to laugh in that sequence.
Which is, again, it's so good. There's so much humor in this movie, too. Like, we haven't really talked about that.
No.
But Banderas and the guy who plays Alberto brings so much life and humor to this film. And even with his mother, when it's more the depressing parts, it's like, even still, it's hilarious because he's just like, really? I thought I've done really well by myself. But okay, sure. Like, there's a lot to love about this movie, especially if you're a fan of artier films. I definitely know plenty of people who will watch this movie and go, why didn't you tell me to watch that? That was boring as hell. And
well, you know who to tell.
Exactly. You know who to recommend them to.
And that's my point is, it's not that movie for everyone. Yeah. But if you're into an artier film or kind of life story film, this is a fantastic character study. Banderas, I think, definitely deserves a nomination for Best Actor for this one. I think he really gives it his all. This might be the best performance I've seen from him in a while.
Yeah.
And so, I really would love to see him get some credit or some notice for this. But overall, it's not a great complete package for me. And I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 penises that show up more than 75% of the way through.
Spider Mike.
Amazingly enough, you actually. The thing about
you
this
took
movie.
His rating system.
That's all you can think about for this movie. Actually,
it's just right in your face. I really appreciated a lot of this movie. There's so much going on in it from a standpoint, even from a Mexican viewer standpoint. I think is something really fascinating about seeing a lot of stuff going on with it. The relationship between him and his mom is the kind of relationship that a lot of Mexican families sort of have.
Kinda is.
Like the kind of I've had those conversations with my mother, kind of thing, like a bunch of times. Just a lot of snarky, but only because I'm afraid of her. But but that's any Mexican with his mom.
Yeah, she's not a good mother if she hasn't made her son
exactly
terrified.
That's the thing.
My
mom
mothers are all
Mexico,
La Llorona.
So.
What is going on here?
Yeah, I understand that movie a lot more now.
It's true, all of it. So no, I dug there are certain moments where it felt like it was kind of meandering, but like I said, every single time I was getting to a point where I felt like it was about to. Like 100% meander. It was just, it gave me something that just was heartfelt enough that kept me going for every single act. I do think that the Alberto sequence was probably the most fun out of them all, but I didn't think it was the strongest personally. I still think the mother, all the stuff with his mother was the strongest. And the stuff with the midpoint, I think, was also really good. There was something just, I don't know, I really liked, Antonio Banderas is fantastic in this movie. From beginning to end, he's even the kid who plays him, I thought was really good. Penelope Cruz is also really good. This movie, pretty much like everyone, like there's one or two characters that I did feel were kind of introduced, but not in a way that I knew exactly what their relationship was to him, kind of thing. But it was enough to like their relationship as throughout the movie was enough for me to get over that kind of thing. I would also give it 8 out of 10 times choking on nothing.
Dude has been reviewing nothing but video games for a year, and he's all Cahiers du Cinema all of a sudden.
I took film classes before I dropped
he's
out.
He's like, I recognize that reference.
You were discussing the art of Japanese panties with games, right?
Yes.
I had my education.
Bass, what about you?
I think the meandering pace was actually probably in its favor, to be fair. It was one of those films where you go in. I went in with absolutely no expectations whatsoever,
and jet lag.
Yes, but Antonio Banderas' hair that got me. No,
it was that sweater he put on when his ex-girlfriend came over.
It was the fact that he was just after 32 years. There seemed to be some kind of spark, and he came to realise that maybe he'd been a bit of a pillock. With some of the things that he'd done and heard and experienced, and maybe he could start trying to move things along a bit.
I'm now going to say pillock like all the time. I'm just preparing you guys.
I don't know what.
Most of my insults come from are from British television.
I'd say it was about 7 out of 10 Antonio Banderas haircuts.
Frank?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. I'm tired as fuck also, because I've been getting used to a new work schedule.
Good excuse, let's keep going.
It's that tinnitus.
And stupidly going to the gym before I go to work, which is, I don't know, but anyways.
Well, you look great.
Thank you very much.
You're the skinniest one in this room, so
I'm dying on the inside. My lower back hates me.
You look great, but you're incoherent.
Yeah, exactly. Another beer, please. Yeah. No, actually, I love the setup of this film. I love the architecture of this film. I love it when any filmmaker has the balls and the reputation to, you know, not produce anything that's sort of traditional. And actually, this reminds me, I think I've said this before about some other films, but this reminds me a lot of a Paul Auster novel. When you read a novel by Paul Auster, it's all about, you know, just recollections and its memories and its fate and its chance and its destiny, and there's no clear path of where, as an artist, he's taking you. And that's the same case with this film. And this is meant to be very, you know, autobiographical. And I think especially when you're dealing with someone, telling the life of someone who works, who is an artist. I mean, this could have very easily gone the way of Nine. Mm. You know what I mean?
Oh.
The animated film?
No. The
Nine and a Half.
Yeah, the Daniel Day-Lewis musical. Like, well, okay. You know, which I love. I love Nine. I think it's really great. But don't give me that look. You like it too.
No.
People can't see him, but Chris is waving. Like, he's like, don't put me there.
Did I? I don't remember.
Wait, the one musical Chris doesn't like?
No. Hey, if it says Andrew Lloyd Webber on it, I'm like, no.
Or the new Annie.
Unless it's Xanadu, Chris doesn't show
up. Does it have Muppets or roller skates in it, then it's good.
But yeah, it could have easily gone the way of Rob Marshall's version of Nine, but it didn't. And it really wanted to tell the story of this, you know, man who's tortured by his art, by his life, and all the above. And I think the key takeaway is that this is a movie that's meant to reflect life, and life... One thing life requires is the absence of plot, I feel. It's a journey you never really know where it's going to take you. And, you know, this movie does that really well. So you can forgive it for not having a traditional plot. Banderas is great. Visually, this is a stunning movie. Everybody's great in this film. No complaints. I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 swanky sweaters that I'll put on when my ex-boyfriend comes over.
So
not seeing him for about a decade.
So here's the thing, and this is just kind of a personal reaction that I often have, and I know it's one of those things Martin and I both love to bitch. He wasn't there at the screening night because he's off in L.A. doing Double Toasted stuff.
But we both tend
to be like just kind of sticks in our craw a little bit, and I know that's stupid, which is guys who are really rich and very successful, and they have all this stuff, and then they're like, but I'm depressed. I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Depression doesn't care what's in your bank account.
I know all of this. I'm rationally, I realize this, but at the same time, I'm just like, you're coming like having nothing in your bank account and going, fuck, stressing out about it every day. And this dude's just like, yeah, you know, maybe I will do heroin. Fuck you.
I don't say that line,
you
know, where it's like,
no,
what about
I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yeah.
No, I love that.
What about the art? Oh, it's my only friends. Like, really? Fuck you, your rich art they want for fucking museums is your only friend.
Emotionally, it's always been a bit of a barrier for me with some of these type films. And so I admit, that might have been something keeping me from going whole head into this. But I did find it kind of dry storyline-wise, really. I think it just, there's many points I'm watching this going, I get it. Go to the next thing. But visually, it really does deliver. It is sumptuous. It's just so incredibly well shot. The costumes are fantastic. The set design is just like, it's fantastic. I would kill to live in this guy's apartment. Yeah. It's so great. But just didn't completely connect with me. Part of it might be I'm tired too. Been sick for like 4 days. Jesus, what a mess of a room we've got here. I will try this one again at some point. It's beautiful looking enough that I would want to return to it. But it's one of those movies that you're like, I would like to watch this, but pause it like 8 times as I'm watching to go do other stuff.
Well, to get a refill.
Yeah, whatever it may be. Too. Drink some tequila. Anyway, I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 very beardy kisses. I always think I see two guys with beards kissing. I'm like, no, isn't that like Velcro? Doesn't it attach? You have to like,
I'm not a fan of facial hair, and that kiss was so hot.
I would watch that Fantastic Fist movie, by the way. Two guys with beards get stuck together. Be great.
It feels like that's a thing.
Chris wants to pause it so he can rewind to that one specific scene.
Hey, why are there tracking lines on your DVD, Chris? I didn't think that was a thing. Shut up.
It's like a baby's arm.